Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to the radio program, Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Vitagliano. Well, the NCAA, that's the National Collegiate Athletic Association, late last week, decided that, hey, before I get into that, let me make an announcement. Bishop E.W. Jackson was on with us earlier. And he's going to be at tonight in Waynesboro, Mississippi, at the Liberty Baptist Church in Waynesboro, Mississippi, at 6:30. That's the Liberty Baptist Church in Waynesboro, Mississippi, at 6:30. E.W. Jackson, Bishop E.W. Jackson, will be speaking there this evening.
If you're anywhere near there, you need to go hear Bishop Jackson preach.
Oh, man. This guy is awesome.
He is.
With his message of the gospel and Christian conviction and He's a patriot as well. But what I was going to say was the NCAA, they said to the state of North Carolina, we're not going to allow any of you to host any of our sports tournaments in I don't know how long, over the HB2 law that passed in North Carolina, which prevents men from going into bathrooms with little girls.
Or changing areas, or locker rooms, or showers, right.
Or anything owned by the state of North Carolina. The state of North Carolina, what happened there? Don't forget, folks, Ed, that Charlotte, the city of Charlotte, started this.
Yes, it did.
How so?
Well, what they did was they passed a law that basically forced businesses to open up their bathroom facilities, restrooms, what have you, to transgendered individuals. So that means a man who believes he's a woman can use any bathroom he
in
or
Charlotte,
she, he
city
wants.
Of Charlotte.
In the city of Charlotte. Well, state law in North Carolina states that places of public accommodation fall under state law. So you can't have individual cities having different rules and regulations because it's hard to attract business. They've got to have uniform laws and policies and regulations. So North Carolina, the legislature, signed by the governor, said, nah, Charlotte, you can't do that. In government buildings now, not saying anything about private businesses, in government buildings, you will go to the bathroom that's on your birth certificate. So if you're a man, you go to men's rooms or changing areas. If you're a woman, right, you go to women's areas. Well, that didn't sit well with secular progressives, who apparently also control the NCAA, who's now introduced a anti-discrimination policy, this is what they call it, which not only targets North Carolina, it targets any state that has laws that require men to go to men's rooms and women to go to women's rooms. Yes, the insane people are in charge of the asylum. This is because this is nutty. This is the NCAA policy, and they
these are college presidents that make up the NCAA. It's a membership organization. You've all heard of the NCAA. Well, I believe I'm correct to say that college or university presidents make up the leadership of the NCAA. So you have a bunch of
I'm sure they have a board of governors, I think,
yeah,
that makes
you
these
have a
kinds
bunch
of
smart
decisions.
People, and I mean that respectfully. I mean, these are intelligent. These are intelligent people who've risen to the level of being presidents of colleges and universities. These aren't, you know, dumb people in any way. And what they did, they said to North Carolina, either you allow men into women's restrooms and showers in the state of North Carolina, or we're pulling all our business from your state. And they're getting away with it, I guess. The NCAA is getting away with it. So they're punishing the state of North Carolina for having a common sense bill. And it just begs the question, Ed, to me, how can such a tiny percentage of people wield such power? In other words, is there nobody in the NCAA committee who says, wait a minute, guys, all North Carolina is doing is protecting their women and little girls from having to go to the bathroom with men. This is not crazy. This is not bigotry. And yet we're going to take all our business away from them?
Well, and let me reiterate, Tim, now the NCAA is saying any state
right.
that, or any city that wants to host an NCAA championship, you have to bid on that and you have to fill out the forms. They are now saying if your state laws require the same thing as North Carolina does, you can't host championship games either. So this is now an NCAA policy that is going to be used to pressure all states to change their bathroom laws. I think, you know, we talked about this morning in our leadership meeting. I think you have a number of things going on. The first and foremost, I think, is that America has adopted, it used to be, you know, the Ten Commandments. Now there's one commandment. You shall not judge anyone else. It's followed by the philosophy of life of most Americans, and that is everyone gets to decide what their own reality is. So that's the way most people think. That's why you hear people say all the time, well, personally, I'm opposed to it, but I don't feel like I should force my beliefs on someone else. Well, you know what? The NCAA has no problem forcing its beliefs on North Carolina and any other state. And then the second thing is, I think that this is simply an expression of the fact that secular progressives believe they have nearly completely overthrown the Judeo-Christian worldview as a foundation for how we live our lives in this country, and they are going for the jugular. So they're going to use this issue of transgendered access to bathrooms as the, as the hammer that they, hope will officially end the Judeo-Christian worldview.
Well, not only the NCAA, but the Atlantic Coast Conference, which a third of their schools are in North Carolina, came down against the, is coming out saying they're going to punish the state of North Carolina as well by taking away tournaments from their, I don't know what the next step would be to ban the colleges and universities within the state from participating.
I think that'll be the next NCAA games. Period. You mean?
Yeah. Over. Keep in mind, folks, this is over the state of North Carolina saying we want to protect our women and girls from having to go to the bathroom with men, and the NCAA and the ACC say no. This is a hill to die on.
Right.
We must take a stand. And notice, and then we'll move on to our guest here. Notice, folks, whenever this is discussed, it's never discussed in how I've just laid it out. They won't ever say that. What they'll say is, we're not going to support a state that discriminates or is intolerant.
Right.
They won't ever say. And if you were able to ask these people, like the NCAA, well, what is North Carolina discriminating against that you're so passionate about? They won't get to that question, because here's that question. The NCAA would have to say, well, we're good with men going to the bathroom with women and little girls. We're good with that, and we're going to fight for it. They won't say that. That's what it is.
Right.
But they won't say that because they know that they lose the general public.
Right.
If they lay it out like it really is.
Yes.
So it's ivory tower stuff, but the fact
real that, world consequences.
Real world consequences. Yeah, the North Carolina will North Carolina, if they need to hold firm, and I think that they will, it would be really hard to repeal this law, because the very same people that passed it would have to repeal it.
Right.
And also...
And they would have to say, yeah, we're okay with men going
We cry uncle.
Right.
Real disappointed to see Steph Curry, the NBA great.
Very disappointed.
From North Carolina. He folded. He criticized his own state. He's a Christian. But he folds on this issue. You dare challenge the LBGT, and Steph Curry's not going to be the one to do it. Russell Wilson, the great quarterback for Seattle, who went to school at North Carolina State, he folded. He said he's moving his wedding ceremony out of North Carolina over the bathroom issue.
Unbelievable.
Well, these Christian celebrities, they're not going to challenge LBGT because they don't want.
They've got contracts with
right.
For tennis
it
shoes
means money.
And Gatorade.
It means money.
That's right.
to them. Well, what they do, though, the regrettable thing is when Steph Curry and Russell Wilson and people like this, they throw us under the bus.
Yes.
Huh? They're saying those of us who stand for Judeo-Christian values and common sense protection of women and girls are wrong. So they side with the LGBT activists to pile on.
Well, because it's all theoretical for these guys. If you were to ask Steph Curry, do you have, if you, your wife and two little daughters are going into a public restroom at Target, let's just, we're boycotting Target over this issue, you're okay with a couple of 30-year-old men following them into the restroom? You're okay with that stuff? Well, no, I wouldn't be. So it's theoretical until it comes home to affect your family. Well, you know what? There are a lot of people who aren't waiting for that to, you know, to go from theoretical to concrete.
I had a lot of respect for Russell Wilson and Steph Curry until they did this. This is just, as I say, this is throwing us under the bus, their fellow Christian brothers and sisters.
I'm tired of milquetoast Christians who are Christians when it's easy.
Yeah.
They're Christians when they can say hunger is bad and sex trafficking is bad, because you know what? Everybody says those things are bad. But when it's men going into women's restrooms and you've got big endorsement contracts that are on the hook, then it's hard to be a Christian. Well, you know, welcome to the real world.
Yeah. Well,
I've been doing too much preaching today.
This needs to be said. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Our next guest.
All right. Well, it's unfair to do this to Ron DeArmond, who's our next guest. We're a little hot under the collar. He's going to tell us a little bit about how to handle conflicts, I think. Ron and his wife, Deb, are relationship and conflict resolution experts. They've co-authored the book. This is a great title, folks. Don't Go to Bed Angry, Stay Up and Fight. Ron is our guest today. Ron, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you. It's a privilege to be here, for sure.
Now, your wife is not on with you. You guys didn't have a fight, did you?
We did not. She had a flight to Denver, so we had to divide and conquer today.
Yeah,
why did she go away?
Okay. Now, if we're going to get into that, I didn't know. We only have 15 minutes.
I'm just kidding. Give us an overview. Why did you and Deb write this?
Well, we realized a lot of couples that we were mentoring and guys that we were counseling that there was a misconception truly amongst the Christian community on conflict. And you know, just the misunderstanding of Ephesians, where Paul said, you know, don't go to bed angry. And, you know, and so it's like, well, you know, so, you know, we got these religious things that just kind of fed into, well, we're not allowed to be angry. God doesn't like conflict. And so all of these fed in, and of course, the way we were raised and the baggage that came into how we were raised filtered into that also. So we just felt it was time to, you know, let's go into the scripture. Let's look at what God says about emotions. Let's look what God says about fighting and conflict and the way the scripture looks at it and deliver that.
So when you and Deb got married, were you guys, you talked about baggage coming into the marriage. Did you guys view marriage the same way? Did you view conflict the same way? Were you evenly matched, that kind of thing? How did that fall out there as you guys entered your marriage?
Yeah. Well, we've been married for 41 years this last July.
Congratulations.
And now we were 19. I was came out of a blended family with step brothers and father, and it was like living on a island with a volcano. You know, you never knew when it was going to blow, and you knew that there was, you know, it could actually take you all down. So it was my bringing up was very volatile and very hard, very dysfunctional. Deb's was, she was an only child, basically, and elderly mom and dad. Her dad was 50 when she was born, so, she, you know, she was living with old people for a very long time, and she, so it was a very different. Very different environments that we came into, plus being Christian, so we needed to blend all those three, the baggage I had, the baggage she had, and then the Word of God, and kind of put those three together and create a life out of it.
Well, and Ron, now you guys make the point that conflict in marriage is not the real problem, even though a lot of Christian married couples would say that. You two believe it's how you deal with conflict that determines where you wind up.
Well, absolutely. Some of the views on conflict is that culturally we learn that conflict is about winner loser, that someone's going to win the fight, someone's going to lose the fight, and so that just creates a very, you know, it just creates tension, because then there's a constant competition, and then there's a counting thing. Well, I won and you lost, and you know, when the scriptures shows us so clearly that conflict was always intended to reconnect. The intention of conflict was always to reconnect with the person that we were confronting. So it just put a whole different spin on our view, especially culturally. You know, when we get into a corporate fight, it's the winner is the deal. And but we look at it scripturally, and we see that in conflict, it's not, there's no winner loser. It is reconnection. I love you enough to reconnect and to confront you and to reconnect and to get this out from between us.
Talking to our guest.
Yeah, Ron DeArmond. Did I get your name right, Ron?
It is DeArmond.
DeArmond, okay.
Written a book with his wife, Deb, on anger management, I guess you could say. Don't go to bed angry, stay up and fight. Do you get any blowback from that subtitle there?
No, you know, it's just, as they learn in the book, it's the stay up and fight part is staying up and fight together as a couple against the enemies that there are in against our marriage, you know.
What is
learn it? And encourage each other to fight against the things that are warring against us as a couple and as a Christian couple. So the stay up and fight part is just that.
What is the... You know, how do I say this without sounding morally superior? And maybe I am, but I just don't want to sound like it. I've been married, you know, since 1984, and we had three children together, Allison and I, and you know, they're adults now, 28, 27, 22. But back during the, you know, the child-rearing years and all that, you know, those 20 years, those 18 to 20 years or so, 22, 23 years. I mean, that's a lot of things that could come up in a marriage that's contentious, or you can get into arguments about, you know, you could get into fights about, and maybe it devolves around whatever, the everyday things of life. But after you get through with that, we don't fight about anything. I mean, what's there to fight about when it's just the two of you, you know, and you got the flat screen? I mean, you're fighting over the remote? I mean, what's the comment? I don't mean to sound like I'm any better than anybody else, but you know what I'm saying? What sorts
of conflicts come up?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, one of the other things I think that, especially with the empty nesters, is working out our lives with two different careers or two different paths, and blending those paths into what, and you're right, once the kids are gone and all that, but then we usually, I have three sons, so I've got three daughter-in-laws, I have six grandsons, so all of a sudden, you know, helping my sons deal with their conflict. And, you know, even though you encourage them and talk to them, you know, all of a sudden they're in the middle of it. So it never always, you know, it never goes away as far as parenting that process. But it is now the empty nest syndrome is trying to blend all of what has happened. Mm. It's like, who are you and what's your name, you know, when the nest empties.
Yeah. That syndrome lasted for about 2 days for me. Huh? I don't know. Maybe I'm unusual.
Well, no, I mean, I didn't have we didn't have empty nest syndrome. Well, of course, now our kids, generally speaking, have been close enough.
Yeah.
You know, if they had been on the other side of the planet, I that might have made it. I probably would have been a lot. But, you know, we haven't. People ask me, "Do you have empty nest syndrome?" Because now I got grandkids. I go, "Man, no." I'm good with it. My wife's good with it.
Ron, tell us about your ministry and how people can get a copy of your book and your website and all that good stuff.
Well, definitely they can go to christianbooks.com. They can go to their local Christian bookstore and look for it there. Amazon, of course, is carrying it. But our website is Family Matters under debdearmond.com. So we're excited about what's happening with this book and what it's the conversation that's starting within the body of Christ. Mm.
Do you speak at conferences and churches?
We do.
Okay.
We do. This has been a crazy season for us here, and so we're excited about it. I mean, we are really excited about how it's come together, how it's connected us to other marriage ministries that don't really focus on this side of marriage.
Hey, thanks, brother. Take care. Appreciate your ministry.
You are sure welcome. Thank you for having me on.
Okay, Ron. Appreciate it. Ron?
DeArmond. So DeArmond has been our guest. He and his wife, Deb, are relationship and conflict resolution experts. They co-wrote, Don't Go to Bed Angry, Stay Up and Fight.
Hey, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Speaking of this issue of conflict resolution, and my idea of conflict resolution is don't get in the conflict.
Right.
And you don't have to have a resolution.
Right.
And the way men can typically avoid that is keep your mouth shut. Now, am I oversimplifying things?
No, that is one way to do that. Or you say,
you
yes,
agree
dear.
With me?
Well,
pretty much.
That's absolutely
that's a
the
good
way,
rule of thumb.
That is, you should limit the number of hills you're willing to die on, because die you will. So you want to
happy wife, happy life.
That's right. Huh? You want to limit the number of those hills. It better be really important.
Yeah, when
you're going
to
die
on
that
urge to say something in your defense, resist it.
Resist it. Huh? You sound like one of the Duck Dynasty guys.
Just
resist it, Willie.
Just swallow your tongue and your pride and move on.
I ever tell you the story about my mom?
Yeah.
I used to
about a minute.
A minute.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Sitting down for breakfast, cold morning in New England, oatmeal for breakfast, and my dad says, "There's a fly in my oatmeal," and my mom says, "No, it's a raisin." He says, "No, it's a fly." She said, "It's a raisin," and it got up and buzzed off. And my mom said, "Wow, a flying raisin." Now that you cannot win against, you just can't win against that.
All right then. Okay, folks.
That's a joke, by the way.
Yeah, but that really happened?
No.
That was actually
from a Hagar the Horrible cartoon.
Okay,
but I always tell like my mom and dad because
it's good,
such a
it
typical.
It makes a point.
It
makes our point.
Yeah.
All right, we are out of time here on American Family Radio's Today's Issues program. The Bible teaching of Dr. Alistair Begg is straight ahead, and then the news, and then on with your day here on American Family Radio. Check us out on the internet at AFR.net, American Family Radio. Download the app and listen to American Family Radio anywhere in the world, as long as you got a high-speed internet connection. Thanks for listening today, folks, and we shall see you back here tomorrow.